Fresh manna fell to the ground as a gift from God while the Israelites were in the wilderness. This is what they ate for 40 years. It was fresh from the ovens of heaven, baked by the master baker himself. How the Israelites must have anticipated the taste and the smell of each morning's delivery. Just like the Israelites, you too can now experience the taste and smell of fresh manna. Today, you'll be listening to a classic Christmas sermon by Jermaine Gale, pastor of the East Lansing University and Lansing Spanish Seventh-day Adventist Churches. And now, here's Pastor Jermaine.
Thank you to all of you who braved the elements to be here this morning. This weekend, Michigan flexed its muscles. It gave us some extra snow, some ice, and it's going to be a white Christmas, as they usually say. Now, if you've been praying for snow, I'm not mad at you, even though I'm not a huge fan of snow. But I know for a lot of people, this is a very special time of the year. And it's not very often that you get both Sabbath and Christmas Eve on the same day. And the world, I would imagine, would be reflecting right now on the birth of Christ in celebration of Christmas. And in a lot of ways, Christ has been removed from the Christmas story in a lot of ways. We think more about the gifts and about the celebration than we do about the Christ. And it's unfortunate. But for you and I, today is not special because it's Christmas. Today is special because it's Sabbath. We get to come into the house of God to worship together. I'm going to add by saying that we get to worship as a small family unit. Amen. As Gary said, the remnant of the remnant. But praise God for technology. We can have others engaging and watching online as well. So our family is not just what we see here in this group, but knowing that others are also participating virtually. Our title is Seeing Salvation. And before I begin, I would like to offer a word of prayer. If you don't mind, just bowing your heads with me as we pray. Our Father in heaven, every single time we open your word, it is important that we humble ourselves before you, our teacher. And Father, we pray in a special way that your Holy Spirit may allow our minds to understand that which you intend to teach us. And we pray that in understanding that your Holy Spirit may also apply the power of your word to our lives, so that we may not only understand, but be changed as a result of our interacting with you, the one who is holy. Father, make us more like Jesus. And we pray, ultimately, that like Simeon, we may see the face of Jesus anew. Is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Why is waiting so often an awful experience? Waiting. Have you ever had to wait? Any one of you? Think about the things you've had to wait for. Why is waiting such an awful experience? I want to tell you that sometimes when you have to wait, you often fill the voids with assumptions or other things. And there are times when, for example, you begin a conversation via text. And nowadays, what happens in text messages, your iPhone tells you the other person read your message. And then you get the inevitable three dots indicating that the other person is responding to you. And oftentimes the dots show up and then it disappears. And then you have to wait in between conversation to find out what the other person has to say. It could be that you're trying to address something that is of concern to you. And you just can't wait but to settle the matter. And you text and only to get those three dots. And then nothing. An hour passes, 2 hour passes. And then you may check again, only to see three more dots, but no message. Can you imagine during a time of disaster sending a message to someone who you know has just experienced one of the most difficult things? For example, think of a natural disaster like a hurricane or a tornado or a snowstorm. And you text a loved one saying, "Are you okay?" And then you get nothing but three dots. Then you have to wait hours upon hours to find out what's going on. What happens to you in those moments? You get anxious, concerned, oftentimes so concerned that you want to get up and go to any place you may think they are to find out if they're actually okay. Waiting. Why is it so unpleasant sometimes? You know what I've recognized throughout the story of Christ's birth? There is something that is uniquely common among all of those who experienced the birth of Jesus Christ. And that which was common was the idea of waiting. Every single person, oftentimes it is reflected in their response to seeing the Savior for the first time, often brings up this idea of waiting, waiting, waiting. And it's important for us to remember that. The Bible tells us that in the book of Lamentations, if you'll turn there with me, Lamentations chapter 3, verse 25 and 26, the Bible gives us a perspective of waiting. It says in Lamentations chapter 3, verse 25 and 26, "The Lord is good." I'll wait until you get there. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 25 and 26. The Bible says, "The Lord is good to those who wait for Him." The Lord is what, everyone? He is good to those who wait for Him. But not only is He good to those who wait for Him, but those who not just passively wait, but those who actively wait, because there's a difference between the two. It adds, "The Lord is good to those who wait for Him, to the soul who seek Him." You see that? So not only is this person waiting, this is an individual who is seeking during the hour of waiting. "It is good," it adds, "that one should hope and wait quietly." Sometimes we wait in protest. Sometimes we wait loudly. Sometimes we wait complaining throughout the process of waiting. The Bible says, "Those who wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord." Isn't that interesting? The Lord is good, it begins, to those who wait for Him, to the soul who seek Him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. There is another text in the book of Lamentations, and the Bible says there that it is good that a man wait in his youth. Did you know that oftentimes we are most impatient when we are young? Is it only me? Sometimes when you get out on the roads, you want to rush to where you're going, and only to find someone in front of you driving slow. And oftentimes the assumption is the person who's driving in front of you is older. No offense, just the way young people think, right? And then you drive up beside and then you realize, oh, this person is about my age. And then you say, how in the world could you be driving like this at this age? But friends, the Bible communicates the responsibility of one to learn how to be patient when he's young. But what does the world teach us? When we are young, the world teaches to be impatient about everything. And so, technology. I remember the first cell phone I had. It was a Samsung G590. Do you know what that is? It was a blue phone that had an antenna. It wasn't working, actually. My first phone. I remember going to high school. I had this phone in my pocket sticking out. And it was the coolest phone in my estimation. The screen was black and white. By the way, there was no touchscreen at that time. You may touch it, but nothing happens. What do you do? The buttons you had to decipher to find out what you're going to text. The screen is extremely small. Games were not the same back then, playing games on your phone. I thought it was the coolest phone. And then I got upgraded to a Razr. Anyone remember the Razr? Right? And then there was the Nokia 3310. Why do I remember all these things? Friends, these were the ways we used to communicate. And back then, the cell phone service in Jamaica, it had a unique feature where, not like we have now, where you pay a contract and you can call and you can do whatever you want, unlimited. In Jamaica, you were limited. You had to buy what was called cell phone credit. And when you buy your credit, you could run out of credit. But when you run out of credit, the cell phone service provided an option for you to communicate. And the option was to send a text message for free that simply said, please call me. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the experiences throughout high school talking to someone? It's like the interaction with them is to text them a free text. Please call me. And now they have to consider, do I want to use my credit to call you back? And sometimes they don't. And other times when you don't have credit, you would text back, please call me too. And that was the way we communicated. Understanding that this person on the other side had no cell phone credit to call you back, and you had to wait. Think about that nowadays, what we have to do. You text, and instantly it's there. You could have a whole conversation via text. And if that doesn't work, you call. And if that is not good enough, you FaceTime. Right? Instant communication. And not only that, we communicate through different platforms like social media, Instagram and Facebook and the like. So instant communication. Can you imagine living during the time of Jesus where communication was limited? The word was on the street, literally. You wouldn't receive a text that the Son of God had come to this world. You had to figure out, you had to find out, and a lot of times you had to be led in order to discover. You couldn't just guess. No one would communicate the way we communicate today. So Jesus, by this time in his life, when we uncover the story of Simeon, Jesus, a lot of the people around this time were waiting for the Messiah. They were waiting for who? The Messiah. And the communication was limited to only one thing. Communication was limited to the Word of God. But during this time, the communication had expanded through other means, meaning angel. And so we talk about the shepherds who saw the angel. And then it was also expanded to include the celestial bodies communicating that the birth of Christ was to be in Bethlehem, meaning the star that the wise men saw. But now, imagine, it's about a little bit less than 2 months after Jesus was born. Things have died down. The angels weren't there shouting anymore. There wasn't a song on the hillside that the shepherds could join into. Jesus was already here. The moment of his birth had passed. And almost 2 months later, 40 days old, Jesus is brought to the temple. Notice what happens. Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 2. 40 days later, Jesus was brought to the temple. The Bible says that Jesus was circumcised according to the law. Verse 21 of Luke chapter 2. And when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called, what everyone? Jesus. And Luke reminds us the name given by Mary. Is that what it says? No. The name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. The name was already determined by heaven before Jesus was born. The name was then communicated to Mary via an angel. And so the name was given on the day he was circumcised. But notice verse 22. Now, when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. 40 days after the child was born, the family brings Jesus to the temple for him to be dedicated. Now, in this church, I've seen many dedications. Can you think of some? Seen many babies dedicated in this church. I have myself performed a few. And it is so special to be able to hold a child and pray over that child and say, God, this is your child. Raised by a dedicated family. Raised in the community of God in the local church. And this was the same back then. Dedication of children is as old as we see here. Jesus was brought to the temple to be dedicated. And I imagine, again, how many days after he was born? 40 days after he was born. 40 days after he was born, he was brought to the temple to be presented to the Lord. Verse 23, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Highlighting here the fact that the parents of Jesus were extremely poor. Mary and Joseph didn't have much to their name. They brought the child to the temple. And just imagine with me that you are there. Imagine that it's the day of a baby dedication. This baby is brought into the temple. The priest holds the child, holds him up, prays over him. And as the priest looks at this child, he sees nothing other than just another baby to be dedicated. Can you imagine that? Jesus is in the temple, but not recognized to be the Messiah. Can you imagine that? Friends, sometimes it happens to us this way, where we think of him just at the beginning and never again. Friends, it's very important for us to recognize that God has something to say to us in that, and we do it often in terms of our celebration of the holidays, right? We remember Christ around Christmas time. Throughout the rest of the year, we struggle to think of him again. But here it is. Jesus is brought into the temple, held by a priest, and prayed over, but the priest does not recognize who he's holding. The entire people of God, city of Jerusalem, was waiting for the Messiah, but still not capable of recognizing him. I want to ask a question today as to why that happened. I want to read something here from the Spirit of Prophecy, Desire of Ages. It says on page 52, day after day, the priests received the redemption money as the babes were presented to the Lord. In other words, you had to pay to get your child dedicated. There had to be an offering being offered. Day after day, she continues, he went through the routine of his work, giving little heed to the parents or the children, unless he saw some indication of wealth or high rank of the parents. Joseph and Mary were poor. And when they came with their child, the priest saw only a man and a woman dressed as Galileans and in the humblest garments. There was nothing in their appearance to attract attention, and they presented only the offering made by the poorer classes. Are you listening? That is to say that the priest did not recognize them because he had despised the poor. Because Jesus was not dressed in a way he would expect, he overlooked the child. Just another poor family coming into the temple to worship. Just another poor family coming into the temple asking for the child to be dedicated. Just another poor family who is needing my help. But nothing more. He didn't realize that this was the King of the universe. He didn't realize that he was the lamb to be offered. He didn't realize that in his hand he held the desire of all nations. Jesus, the child. Did you notice in Luke chapter 2 what's repeated over and over again? Luke chapter 2, verse 22, it's repeated first, according to the law of Moses. In Luke chapter 2, verse 23, as it is written in the law of the Lord. Luke chapter 2, verse 24, and a pair to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord. Do you see what's repeated there in Luke chapter 2? The law of the Lord. The Bible is highlighting that there is a moment of conflict between two things, the law of Moses and the grace of God seen in the person of Jesus Christ. Notice what John says. If you turn with me in your Bibles to the book of John, we're going to go to John chapter 1 and verse 16. The Bible says in John chapter 1 and verse 16, another reason I believe that the priest and the Jews overlooked the birth of Jesus Christ. Not only did they despise the poor, but they also clung to the law. John chapter 1 and verse 16, John tells us, and of his fullness we have all received. What have we received? And grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through who? Jesus Christ. So the priest, in keeping the law, dedicated the child, but at the same time not recognizing that this is the child of grace. You see, they were so caught up in the temple rites that they forgot the Son of God who was supposed to save their lives. But notice what happens in verse 25 of Luke chapter 2. And behold, the Bible says, there was a man. Luke chapter 2 and verse 25. Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem. Where was he? Notice how the Bible singles him out. There was a man. In the midst of all of these people who did not recognize the Messiah, there was a man. His name, Simeon. And this man was just and devout. Notice the characteristics of Simeon. He was just, meaning he did that which was right. He was righteous. In terms of his relationship with others, he would always honor God. He did that which was right. He did not mistreat anyone. Simeon really cared for people. He was just according to the law of the Lord. He's declared to be so. It is common knowledge that Simeon was a good person. Not only was he just, he was devout. What does that mean? Simeon was faithful. Simeon honored God in his relationship with God. Simeon, you could find him praying. Simeon, you could find him witnessing. Simeon, you could find him in church. Simeon was always there when it came to honoring God. Simeon was devout. But not only that, Simeon was waiting, meaning he was patient. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus Christ. Simeon had the characteristics. He was just, devout, and patient. Simeon waited. What was he waiting for? Waiting for the consolation of Israel. But not only that. You see, it would be good enough if Simeon was just. It would be good enough if Simeon was just devout. It would be good enough for Simeon to be just patient. In other words, Simeon could stand out in society by just having these qualities. But that is not enough when it comes to God. Notice what else Simeon had. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. Friends, we need the Holy Spirit to be upon us if we are to recognize the Christ. We need the Holy Spirit to be upon us in order for us to see properly. So Simeon had the Holy Spirit upon him. The Bible says, and it had been revealed to him by who? By the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God was the means of communication with Simeon. But notice what the Spirit of God does. Did the Spirit of God make him wait? Yes? Yes. Simeon, the Bible tells us, it had been revealed to him by who? Verse 26, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see what? Death. Before he had seen the Lord's Christ. What does that mean? The Holy Spirit, in other words, is saying to Simeon, you are going to live for a very long time before you see Jesus. Simeon, don't worry. You won't die before you see him. You see the type of communication. Would you be impatient? Can you imagine, like, the life of the Israelites were centered around this Messiah? They had been waiting their entire lives for him. Everything in Scripture had predicted his coming. The Israelites going from the land of Egypt to the promised land, they've been promised as a result of the Passover, the story of the Passover, the firstborn. Adam and Eve, Genesis chapter 15, were promised a seed. All throughout time, they've been waiting for the Messiah. And the Holy Spirit communicates to Simeon between this moment of the communication and between the moment you'll see the Messiah. All you need to know is that you will not die before you see him. So there was a time for Simeon to wait for the Messiah to come. But Simeon never gave up. Simeon, I imagine, was never frustrated. Simeon was patient throughout the process. It had been revealed, past tense, to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And now the day had come. 40 days after the birth of Jesus, he was brought to the temple, and the Holy Spirit, can you imagine this, friends? The Holy Spirit grabs Simeon and says, I'm going to take you to see him finally. So the Bible says, so he came by what means? Verse 27. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus, just imagine this, just imagine in your mind how God works. It's just amazing to even imagine. The child is being brought, Mary and Joseph, thinking nothing of it. This is the day of dedication. The Jesus, the Son of God, now being dedicated in the temple. The priest is thinking nothing of it. He is thinking this is just another child to be dedicated. But the Holy Spirit is going on some errands. Simeon, the time is right. I want to take you to the temple to see the Lord. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him according to the custom of the what, everyone? Of the law, verse 28, Simeon took the child. Simeon took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, can you imagine this? First of all, what struck me about this is the fact that Simeon took the child. How many of you are parents in this room? Can you imagine bringing your child to church, 40 days old, first Sabbath? And as you bring your child to church, some random church member, I hate to use the word random, but just someone from church just grabs your child from your hands and say, this child is special. How would you react? Stunned. Some might even argue. So he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, notice what happens here. That this is speaking of a dual dedication. The priest dedicated the child. There was nothing significant about it. But Simeon took the child and dedicated him. He blessed God. What did he say? Blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation. Friends, do you realize that Simeon could not recognize Jesus without the aid of the Holy Spirit? Do you realize that Simeon could not see in this child anything if he had not the Spirit in his life? Do you realize that Simeon could not be brought to the temple at this time to respond to the birth of Jesus except he had the Spirit of God? Friends, you and I cannot see salvation without the Spirit of God. Salvation in no other but Jesus himself. Ellen White continues in Desire of Ages, talking about the priests and the fact that they didn't recognize that this was the Lord. She says they didn't realize that one greater than Moses was in their arms. And when he wrote the name of the child down, he was writing the name of one to be the foundation of the Jewish economy. That name was to be the death of the ceremonies, the systems and sacrifices, offerings. These things were failing. They were waxing old. The type had almost reached the antitype, the shadow now giving place to the substance. The Shekinah glory had departed from the sanctuary, but in the child of Bethlehem was veiled the glory to which angels bow. The unconscious babe was the promised seed brought to the altar, but not recognized. Not recognized. There is something unique about those who have the characteristics of Simeon. Something special about them. They have a different relationship with God. They see something when others don't. They realize what God is doing when others do not. Friends, do you have the Spirit of God working in your life? If you don't, you'll miss the Messiah. And so, I imagine when Simeon saw Jesus, that joy filled his heart. He was waiting. He was longing to see the Messiah. And finally, his reward was here. He was seeing Jesus for the first time. Held the child in his arms and honored God. Turn with me to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 8. And let's talk about what Simeon saw. Simeon was not so tightly hung up that he missed the Messiah. He realized what Paul says in Romans chapter 8. Having recognized the failure of the law, he was looking for another to help. Verse 3, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of what everyone, sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. But notice here in verse 4 and 5, that the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in who? In us, who do not walk according to what? The flesh, but according to... See, Simeon walked according to the Spirit. And as a result of that walking, his relationship with God was on a different plane. Verse 5, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. And in Simeon's case, the things of the Spirit was to point out who the Messiah truly was. The priests had lived their lives focused on only the temporal things. In their minds, they saw in this couple nothing more than another family contributing to the temple. They saw in Mary and Joseph another couple coming to present their offerings. But Simeon, through the lens of the Spirit, saw the Messiah. If we don't have the Spirit of God, we will miss out on seeing the Messiah. And what's dangerous about this, friends, is that you could be in the temple. You could be a priest in the temple. You could be serving God for many years, but still not know him. Still not recognize him. And sad to say that Jesus at one point speaks in parabolic terms to his people, stating that the time is coming when the Son of Man returns and some will come to him saying, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not do this in your name? And his response, depart from me, for I never knew you. There are many people who celebrate Christmas, honor the birth of Christ, who have no clue who he really is. And you and I, more than ever, friends, in this modern day, should be praying for a double portion of the Spirit of God so that our celebration may be sweet, so that it may be complete, having recognized who Jesus really is in our lives. Amen? I don't know about you, but I want my life to be like the life of Simeon, being capable, able of seeing what God is doing at the time that he does it. That if he calls me to be patient, that I'm willing to respond with patience. That if he calls me to live a righteous, devout life throughout the process of waiting for him to be revealed, that I may do so. If that's your desire, I want to invite you to stand as we pray to close our service for today. Our loving Father in heaven, we thank you for this record we find in Scripture of the life of this man called Simeon, whose name means one who hears. We're thankful, Lord, for his story, for it not only reminds us of what we need to have and who we need to have in our lives, but also of how we should respond. We thank you, Lord, for sending your only Son into this world on account of your love for it. And today we claim that precious promise that with him we may have everlasting life. Father, help us to know him. As the Apostle Paul pleads, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, even if it means going through sufferings, that even those things may not deter us from truly knowing Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for this reminder, and we commit our ways to you now, asking that by your Holy Spirit, you may make us more like your children, that we may be led by your Spirit. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
You've been listening to a classic Christmas sermon by Jermaine Gale, pastor of the East Lansing University and Lansing Spanish Seventh-day Adventist Churches. If you enjoyed this sermon, why not visit one of his churches this coming Sabbath or a church near you listed on strongtowerradio.org. You will find the East Lansing University Church at 504 Ann Street in East Lansing, Michigan, and their church service begins at 11:20 a.m. Or visit the Lansing Spanish Church located at 111 North Magnolia Avenue in Lansing, Michigan, and their church service begins at 11:30 a.m. This program is a Strong Tower Radio production.